Why don't we pray and then read our Bible? God, come to you today and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving to us. You give us these beautiful moments that we could come together and worship you and sing to you and then open your word and read together and remember Jesus and his sacrifice. And as we do that, God, I pray that you would draw our hearts to you. You would help us to know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so today we get to talk about, I've been looking forward to this one personally, not to build it up because you might not find it the way that I find this psalm. But anyway, we're going to talk about how to fight for our joy, fight for faith, fight for our joy when we find ourselves underneath the cloud of depression or deep sadness, melancholy. That's an old-timey word, isn't it? That describes it when we're down. And this may not, I know from the start, this may not be for everyone. This may not be for you. If you're a person who doesn't ever feel moments of profound sadness or depression or melancholy, or you never feel just at your wit's end, or anxious and sometimes for no reason, or worried, or you never get frustrated or feel just kind of frustrated. You never feel down in your spirit. Then this won't apply to you, but I personally am not one of those people. I feel those things, all of those things, and not all the time, thankfully, but there are moments, right, in life that I feel that. Sometimes I feel that there's just an inexplicable gray cloud over me. And again, not always, thankfully. There have been seasons, but not right now. But even as I say all of that out loud, I find it hard to believe that there'd be any among us that occasionally don't feel down, whatever word you ascribe to it, there would be any of us that don't feel like that sometimes. And so today what we're going to look at is for me, and it's for you as well, for when we go through these moments in life when we feel down, we don't feel good. And I think it's good for us to talk about this sometimes because maybe particularly in the Christian world, In church world, it's hard for us to voice these things, to talk about these particular emotions. Maybe it's because we know we shouldn't feel them, and so we say, well, we feel like I need to artificially portray what I know I should be feeling. So how are you doing, brother? And the only appropriate response to that is good or blessed or wonderful. How about you? And you just, you know, flip it back to the other person and we're both doing great. And then we go on. It would be embarrassing sometimes for us to open up and really, really share how we feel in those moments when we're not feeling well. When I'm okay, I can tell you how I feel. But when I'm not feeling well, that takes a little more courage to voice that, especially when we're down and there's not a good reason. Because what's the first thing that we do? We try to help each other. How you doing? Not very good. Really? Why? What's going on? You can't say, I don't know. I just don't. It's not good. So we talk about this. Why? Because it can be dangerous. It can be damaging to just be like this, to be drowning, as it were, in these bad feelings. It's because they tend to pull us down more and more. They get us in a spin cycle of, I don't feel good, and now I feel worse, and now I feel worse, because they make us treat other people poorly. They're dangerous because they make us feel bad and down and lose out on the blessings that God has for us as we go through life. Aside from the fact that depression and bitterness and anxiety aren't fruits of the Spirit. We don't like to say they're sins, but think about Galatians 5. They go against everything that the Holy Spirit of God desires to work in God's children. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those do not describe me when I'm down. And maybe worse than all, when we feel like this, when we go through these seasons of I'm just not doing very good, I don't feel good, we don't reflect in those moments as we go through life. We're not reflecting the reality of the gospel of what God has done for his children and in us in Christ. We're not going through life glorifying God as we go through life with this cloud over us. But they They trap us, don't they? These emotions, they're like a trap that just gets inside of our soul and we can't get free from them sometimes. So the question that I want us to take to the text today is this: what can we do in those moments? And maybe you haven't had a moment like that for a long time, and you say, "Oh no, fingers, we shouldn't cross our fingers in church. That's not, we don't believe in luck." But you know, it just in a manner of speaking, okay, I hope that by talking about this, it doesn't make me, you know, have a season like this, because I remember those in the past. Well, we'll have them in the future. So the question would be, as we go through these seasons, whether you're going through one now or there will be one in your horizon, what should we do when we go through these seasons? I want to look at a psalm today, Psalm 42, a psalm that can help us in these moments when we know what's happening to us and we're not doing well. It's a psalm that can help us face what's in front of us. A psalm that can help us battle these emotions that are negative/sinful. In this psalm, we find David in what seems to be a very deep pit of despair, depression, whatever word you would attach to that, whatever word you would feel comfortable calling it. He's there. That's what he is. And we'll look at what he did, how he battled during that time. And spoiler, the way that he battles his depression is the same thing that will work for you and I as we battle any negative, sinful emotion that we are feeling, whether it's anxiety or bitterness or depression or whatever the case may be. What did David do? What are we going to see as we look at this psalm? David talked to himself. Not in a weird losing his mind kind of way. He talked to himself. He counseled himself. At least in this occasion, as he was going through this time of despair, he spoke to himself. This whole psalm appears to be a discourse that he was having with himself. Let's look at what he talked to, what he said to himself as he went through this time of depression. Now look at verse 1. He starts by expressing desire for God. So he says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And funnily enough, as I was going into exposition of this week and, you know, writing down some thoughts, I was like, I think I'm in the wrong psalm. Literally, I thought that. I was like, I think I must have written down the wrong psalm. I don't think this is the depressed psalm, the talking to yourself while you're in the middle of depression psalm. This is the one that we put on coffee mugs. This is the good one. This is the encouraging verse. Okay, he knows that he needs God. I wasn't mistaken. It is this psalm. It's the right psalm. But he starts out with I said, "I need you, God, more than anything." So as we get into this and we see how down he is, he's starting out by saying, more than anything else, more than all the temporal things we think need to be fixed to fix our depression that would resolve our how we're feeling. I need that person to change. They're really, if they would just be different. I need my job to be different. I need life to be different. He knows that his true need is for God, that only God can satisfy him, that only God can return his happiness, that everything he needs is in God, and he feels it. You read those words have resonated with us. We sing those words. Again, we print them on stuff. They inspire us. Why? Because we feel how deeply David knew, he felt, "I need God." And as we read farther in this psalm, we see he's not feeling that. He knows he needs God, but he also feels like God is out of reach for him, that he can't get what he most needs. How many times have we felt like that when we're going through times of darkness, when we are down, that I know I need God, I don't feel his presence. I'm not experiencing God. So he knows he needs God. And then he owns where he's at. He's honest about how he's feeling. Look at verse 3. "My tears have been my food day and night. When they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" So he's expressing how he's feeling in that moment to himself. He's depressed. He's overwhelmed with sadness. You find a man who is crying day and night, who breaks into tears, that's not someone who is doing well, and he knows that. And it feels like God isn't close. He's not helping me. He recognizes, he owns, he speaks where he's at. He doesn't act like everything's okay. He's honest with himself. Look at verse 4. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul. how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. So even as he's destroyed in his spirit, he remembers how things were before. So I would go with God's people joyfully. We don't know. This might have been last week. I would go before God and be filled with joy, shouting praise and singing to God with all my brothers and sisters. I remember that. He's not experiencing it right now. He's not feeling it. And so he speaks that. And then what he does now, this is the most most helpful thing that I've found one of the most helpful things that I found in the Psalms ever. Look at how he speaks to himself. Look at how he counsels himself. It's as if he lifts up a mirror and he becomes his own counselor. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him again, my salvation and my God. He doesn't accept his depressed state. It's his reality in that moment, and he's honest about it, but he knows that's not the way it's supposed to be. So what does he do? He talks to himself. Instead of only thinking the thoughts that he has going around in his head, the way we do, right? We think the thoughts that come to us. So I'm thinking, I'm not feeling well, and I'm thinking thoughts, and those thoughts are not helping me feel better. They're kind of reinforcing why I feel bad and why that person is such a jerk, and I'm just marinating in my thoughts, and they're not good. I'm just going with the flow. I'm not consciously thinking thoughts. I'm just letting my thoughts think themselves, and they're drowning me in depression or anger or bitterness or sadness. He's not doing that. He's actively counseling himself as if he hung, you know, a sign, King David therapist, on the door and held up a mirror and started talking to himself. He says, why do you feel this? Why are you feeling this way? Why do you feel like this? It's as if he were saying, you shouldn't be feeling this way. Why are you feeling? And then he speaks the reality to himself. The reality that as we read the psalm, we know he's not feeling, but he knows that it's true, but he doesn't feel it. You know how that is, right? You know something's true, but you don't feel it in that moment. And he speaks that reality to himself. God is my salvation. God is my God. God has chosen me. I'm part of his people. He's my Lord and my Father. He's the King of the universe, and I'm his child. I'm paraphrasing and expanding, but that's what he's saying to himself. He's saying, God is my salvation. He's my God. He's telling himself what he knows to be true, even though he doesn't feel it. He just said, everybody says it, where's your God? Because it doesn't appear that God is with him, but he reminds himself of what he knows is true, and then he tells himself what he should do. He's put your trust in God, put your hope in God, not in your circumstance, that's implied, not in your emotions, that's also implied, not in other people, put your hope in God. He tells himself, this is what you need to do to get out of the pit. He talks to himself. God's the one who can lift you up. He's the one who can take that cloud of depression and sadness off of you. He has you in his hands, and he'll take care of you. He's the one who can and will return your happiness. He tells himself what is true and what he should do, even though he's not feeling it in that moment. He gives himself gospel therapy. And then he continues by remembering this train of thought of remembering who God is. Who is my God, the one who holds me in his hand, the one who is real, more real than the feelings that I have right now. Look at verse 6. My God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Massar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And if there was any doubt in our diagnosis of his state, my soul is cast down within me. He's deep in depression or despair. He's not good. And what do we do when we feel like that? Again, let's compare and contrast what we do compared to what David did. Don't we focus on ourselves? Don't we hold up the mirror and say, life is bad. You have bad luck. Why do things always work out badly for you? And we just wallow in whatever is the thing that is just just churning around us and making us feel, why does everybody not like you? And why does everybody abandon you? And the people you love the most, they don't treat you the way that you deserve it. We tell ourselves these negative things and we just wallow in despair. What does he do? He battles his depression by doing something completely different. Instead of focusing on himself, he's talking to himself. But he's talking to himself not about himself. He's talking to himself about God. He remembers who God is. He reminds himself, would be the better way to say it, of who God is. He raises his eyes up from the person he's talking to in the mirror, and he puts them on God. He remembers God's power, the power that God has shown in his creation, the power that God has worked in him. And even in his depression, he sings to God, and he talks to God. Again, when we're down, Isn't singing and praying and reading the Bible like the first thing that goes? It's like, I just don't feel it today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Sunday I'll pray. It's just not right now. When we feel bad, isn't that when we most need that connection with God? Those things connect us with God. As we do them, as we sing and as we pray and as we read the Word, God lifts our eyes from ourselves, and just like David, he makes us contemplate his splendor, and he reminds us of his work in the world and his work in us, and that changes our perspective. And he continues. Now he was talking about God to himself. Now he starts talking to God. Look at what he says to God, verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? He talks with God. So he just said, I pray to God. And then he says, this is what I say to him. So I don't think this is a one-time prayer. I'm guessing, if anything like you and I, when we go through these times, it was an over and over and over prayer. This is what's happening, God. Why is it happening? He tells God how he feels, even though God knows how he feels. But that's what prayer is many times, is that's telling God stuff he already knows. Well, actually, that's always what prayer is. He tells God, it feels like you're not close to me. And then he asks God, why? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Why? And he talks openly with God, respectfully and openly about how he feels. And then look at how he finishes the psalm, talks to himself again. I know, first sign of devolving into craziness, but it's not that. It's the opposite. This is sanity. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, my God. It's not by chance that he repeats that phrase, that particular phrase, that particular verse twice in this tiny little psalm. I think it's repeated. I think it's safe to say it's repeated because it's key. It's key for his and our battle against depression, against bitterness, against being down, against those times when we're just a swirl of bad emotions. He repeats it because battling is a process. You don't say some magic words. Why is it outcast, oh my soul? And now I'm better. That's not how it works when we're down, is it? It's a process. It's a battle, a constant, an ongoing battle against negative emotions. It's ongoing. Sometimes it lasts for hours, and those are good battles. Sometimes it lasts for days, and those are harder battles. Sometimes it lasts for weeks or months or breaking into the Friends theme song in my head, or even years. It just goes on. And if you've gone through or are going through a time of cloud over your head depression that has gone on for years, for a long period of time, for months, you know it's a battle. It's not a say one thing once and you're done and you're better. We have to battle over and over again. And we do that by repeating the same things to ourselves, by saying the things to ourselves that we know are true, like David did. So he speaks to himself again. He doesn't accept the state he's in. He speaks truth to himself. He tells himself what he knows, but obviously doesn't feel in that moment. He tells himself what he needs to do. He needs to put his trust in God. And he's like, as if he were just telling himself that over and over again, counseling himself. What did we see in this psalm? We saw the reality. This might be helpful for you if you're going through a time of being in despair. Sometimes God's children get depressed, overwhelmed, we get down. We also saw that we should not accept this in ourselves. We saw that in David's example. It's the opposite of what God's Spirit would work in us. We saw that when we feel this way, the way that we feel doesn't reflect the reality that is between God and us. We see David actively try to pick himself up. We learn from his example that our responsibility in these moments when we are not feeling the way we should feel is to actively battle for our joy, so that the way that we feel will eventually become conformed to the reality that we have in Christ as God's children. So, what's the application? I kind of just said it, didn't I? We should be like David. We should be honest with ourselves, with how we feel. We should be honest, and maybe, like David, share with other people. He shared with all of us. Maybe open up to other people. You might be able to think of times. I could think of times in my life where the clouds didn't lift until I started talking to people about what I was feeling. It's confess your sins one to another, right? And pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We should speak our what we're going through. We should be open like David was. We should learn from David's example too, the way he talked to himself in his moment of depression and sadness. How he reminded himself of the reality of him and who his God was and his relationship with God. For those of us who are Christians, listen, we should speak the gospel to ourselves. When we feel emotions inside of us that go against the truth of the gospel, so anxiety and worry and envy and fear and jealousy and bitterness and sometimes depression, we should learn to say with David, why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me, hoping God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. We should learn, listen, to look in the mirror at ourselves and say words like David did. Why are you fearful right now, Philip? Why? Why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Why are you depressed? Why are you feeling that way? God is, and then tell ourselves what we know is true. God is my God, and he loves me. He's forgiven me, and he has my whole life in his hands, and his Spirit fills me with power, and he will never leave me or forsake me. So I can say confidently, the Lord is my strength. As I leave this life, I'm going to see his face. So I should hope in God, I should trust in God. We should tell ourselves that. I can say that to y'all, but I need to say that to me when I feel these emotions. I need to tell myself, worship God, even in this time when there's a cloud over my head. I don't feel like worshiping at all. I need to just make myself open my mouth and sing. We should learn to talk to ourselves. And that doesn't mean that we're going to immediately feel better. This isn't a quick fix necessarily. When we get better is in the hands of our sovereign God. But this is how God's children should battle depression and every negative emotion until we once again find our joy in God. And if you are still not a Christian and you're listening to this, you can receive this gospel, this great hope, when you surrender to Jesus, when you decide to follow him by repenting and being baptized. God will adopt you into his family. He'll forgive you. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. He'll fill you with joy and love. And listen, that does not mean that you will not go through times of sadness or depression as you go through life. It does not mean that you will not battle anxiety or worry or bitterness. But as you go through that valley, as God's child, you will have the real hope that you will be able to hold on to, that God, through his Spirit, will always be with you, and you will be able to battle with the hope of the gospel that you have received in Christ. In this community, when you say, I want that hope, tell one of us. You can repent. You can be baptized. You can enter into Jesus. And those of us who have entered into Christ right now, we have a moment to do exactly what David did, to together remember what our Father has done for us. As we take bread and juice, as we remember the body and blood of Jesus that was offered in our place on the cross. This is a moment as we remember Jesus to be thankful, of course, to be thankful, to remember, yes, There's also a moment in which we can battle any negative, any sinful emotion inside of us, any emotion in us in this moment that goes against the gospel. As we take the bread and the juice and we speak the gospel to ourselves, it's a moment as we're in silence together. This is a moment for you and I to remember, to remind ourselves, to speak to ourselves, to remember what God did for us as we remember our Savior, remember His sacrifice together because of what He did on the cross. You and I can be God's dearly beloved children. God, we come to you right now and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments in which we could come together and we can worship you. We can lift up your name. We can listen to your word together. We can remember what Jesus did on the cross. And as we do that, God, we pray that you would remind us of the great truth is that you are a Father and you love us, that you hold us in your hands, that we are but passing through this life, that everything here is temporary, and what is eternal and true is you, and we cannot wait to see you and be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.